Welcome back to Epilogues, an unpacking of the weekly Haftarah. You are listening to Rabbi Yaakov Trump. This week we're going to be looking at the Haftarah of Parshas Bechukosah. This, of course, is also read when Bahar Bechukosah is together. And it is from Yirmiyahu Perek Tes Zayin Yud Tes to Yud Zayin Yud Dalet. So this is a very short Haftarah over here of 17 Psukim. So where the first three Psukim already come from the end of the 16th Perek in Yirmiyahu, and it describes how Yirmiyahu turns to the nation of Israel and says, Hashem uzi umo uzi. Hashem is my strength. He's the place I turn to on a day when I need help. He is my refuge. He's the place that I am always able to do this. V'yomru, and they will say, Ach shecher nochlu avosenu. Our forefathers gave us, bequeathed to us, that which wasn't real. And he questions the Yas, Elo Adam Elohim, where Elohim, will people make for themselves their own powers, their own deities. Therefore, Hashem says, I'm going to tell them, I'm going to show them my strength, and everyone will know my name is Hashem. So what is this referring to? And when is this? And who is saying this? At what point? So the Radak explains this refers to the Yom HaMashiach, the days of the Messiah, in which everyone will recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everyone will recognize that it's Sheker Nachlo Avoseinu, that they received bad and false ideas from their parents, if that was corrupt, in fact. And this refers not just to the nation of Israel, it refers to all the Gentiles around the world. There'll be a point in time when everybody will recognize the strength of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There'll be this incandescent realization of truth. However, if you follow straight into the next perek, past the perek Yud Zayin, Pasuk Aleph to Dalet, you'll now see a little bit of a change of tune, because now Yirmiyahu turns from this, we'll call prophetic future vision, to the Yehuda, which is the area that is in Judea, which is the southern region of Israel, which is the last remaining bastion of the state of the nation of Israel. And he turns to him and he says, Chatas Yehuda kesuva ba'et barzel v'tziporin shamir. The sins of Judea are written with this iron quill, charusha aluach ribom, which is ingrained upon their hearts, and on the corners of their altars. And he goes on to describe how they bring their children on their altars. This is one of the practices of Canaanite worship, of infanticide. And they have these asherehem, the eshtar trees, and are on every mountain. And he describes all these disgusting abominations the nation is carrying out. V'shamatato, and you'll be left out. And I'm going to take you out of your inheritance that I gave you. I'm going to make you serve your enemies in an unknown land. You have ignited, says Hashem, this eternal flame of anger against you. So it's like, this is really shocking, because just a second ago we're talking about the future and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be recognized by everybody and it's going to be such a wonderful time. And now at this point in time is a description of the destruction of Judea and the fact that it's sort of ingrained upon them. So how do we read this? What's the flow here? So first thing is what is this iron quill that's written upon their hearts, all these negative things? Rashi says, these are the prophets and who are the scribes. That means to say, Yirmiyahu and Yechezkel are the eight barzel and the tziporin shamir, these expressions of truth. And they're the ones who are sort of keeping record of the illegitimate life led by the nation of Israel in Judea. They're the ones who are keeping it straight and saying, this isn't the right way to be. This is not the right way to conduct life at all. And what's fascinating about this is that at the times, this is probably not the predominant commentary in the local newspapers. I mean, the local newspapers probably did not find Yechezkel and Yirmiyahu very popular. All these ideas of keeping tabs and keeping accounting of the fact that they are doing this and it's illegitimate. That probably wasn't a popular opinion. They were probably as is very clear in the Psukim in Yirmiyahu. Yirmiyahu was ostracized. He was excluded. He was made into a pariah. People didn't believe him until it was too late. And so what's being said is that Hashem is saying, I'm writing with my iron quills. I'm using my prophets to write upon your hearts to tell you, to keep track of the record that in fact you're not living up to your calling as well. And I sometimes think that today it's so important, even though you see like the whole world is against Israel, it seems, and everybody's calling genocide. It's important to have the commentary to have those who are setting the record straight, even if people aren't necessarily at the time the populists are noticing it, but it's important for the sake of posterity to have it such. And these are the prophets, as the prophets were doing. Now, how does this section move? The Mitzvot explains that that Hashem says in the end of days, the times of Mashiach, The nations of the world, the Gentiles, will in fact recognize and believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yet, Yehuda is not making that change. Meaning, this is meant in contrast. How can it be, Yirmiyahu was saying, is that the times of Mashiach, the Gentiles will recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and yet you Judea, will still, it's as if it's written upon your hearts. There's no way you can escape it. Like, why can't you just have a little bit of perspective? That's what's being said over here as well. And at the end of here, it describes a very interesting word, which is, it says, the shamatata, which is, you'll be removed from the land. And what does it mean exactly over here in this context? What does it mean you'll be removed from the inheritance? So if you look at the Mefarshim over here, based on the Radak and the Malbim, the Rav Avram Rivlin explains, the Mashkiach and Kerbi Yavne, explained that what is being understood over here is that you are supposed to keep the land. You are supposed to keep the Shemitah, take care of the land, perform the mitzvahs of Tlius Baretz, and you, the nation of Israel, did not do so. You did not do your calling. You did not leave the land to its own, and so you are going to be the Kiyum. You are going to be the fulfillment of Shemitah. How so? Where you'll be left. You'll be removed. You didn't remove yourself from the land. Hashem says, I'll remove you from the land. That is going to be the parallel over here. And this obviously connects to Parshas Bechukosai, where the Torah describes these terrible curses will come. And it explicitly says, because you didn't look after the land. You didn't keep the Shemitahs on the land. This is directly a parallel. And this is why this is probably half Torah of this week as well. And finally, the last question is, it sounds like this is a Aish. This fire is going to be Olam. What does it mean forever? So the Mitzvah says, what it means to say is Echos Alechem Zman Meruba, a long time as well. It reminds me a little bit of Vavodayla Olam Pashas Mishpatim, where it describes that the slave who wants to stay by his master, the bondsman, Hebrew bondsman, decides he wants to stay by his master, Vavodayla Olam, he'll serve him forever. And forever means, as we understand by the tradition, our tradition explains that it refers to till the year of the Yovel, and that obviously is applicable for the Bahar Bechukosai area, where we learn about the Yovel, we learn about the Shemitahs that Israel neglected and rejected, and therefore it will be, this fire will be forever. What does it mean forever? Until the Yovels and the Shemitahs have been accounted for, which they ignored as well. Finally, I have to move to the next section. There's two small last sections. That one is from Yud Zayin Hay to Tess. In this section, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's a very famous pasuk over here, but its preamble is equally as important, where it describes, Hashem says, Arara gevar sheivtach ba'adam v'som basar zroi. Cursed is upon the person who places their trust in human beings and finds power in the flesh and blood. Because he'll be like this bush that sits in the desert, and it's alone. It's in a salty landscape. It has no fertility. It has no ability to grow. But Baruch HaGever Asher Yutzah Hashem VaYasher Hashem Mivtachoi. Blessed be the person who places Hashem in their trust and relies on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Obviously, we say that in davening, so it's very well known. Possible. But the flip side was the Arar HaGever Asher Yutzah Adam. That it should be obvious from that. And what's the parallel to that? Ke'ech Shasul Al Mayim. This is like such a person will be like a tree which is by an oasis, and their roots will be deep, and they won't be affected by weather, and they won't be affected by drought or famine, because they will always have the source of water. That's what's being described over here. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Ani Hashem Choker Levo Bochen Klo Yosef, says Ish Kedrocho Kfiru Melalov. I search out your heart. I know who you're truly trusting in over here. Why is this over here? So the Radak explains it because of the geopolitical context of the time. At this point in time, as the Babylonian Empire is very quickly expanding in the area of Syria and Iraq, moving its way downwards in through the Middle East and the Fertile Crescent, at such a time, all the smaller states like Judea and Egypt and Ammon and Moab are trying to band together in an axis to prevent as a coalition against the onslaught of the Babylonian Empire taking over the Middle East. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, don't trust them. Don't think that you're going to be able to find refuge in these other nations, because they will not afford you the protection you believe. You have to bitchu b'Hashem. You have to trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because that's the only way you're going to get through this as well. They didn't listen to Yirmiyahu. They trusted Egypt, and they fell, as was predicted. And finally, this is the Haftorah closes from Pasuk Yud Aleph to Yud Daled, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Korei dagar v'lo yalad, is like the partridge who calls out but does not give birth, does not hatch her eggs. Gaining wealth, ill-gotten gains, a person will lose it at half their life. Hashem says, You know what? How you get to touch the source of life? Mikveh Yisrael Hashem is through this water, this gathering point, this is the source of life, which is Hashem. Anybody who leaves that source of life, Hashem, will dry up, wither, will be assimilated and disappear into meaninglessness. Whereas those who are attached to my chayim will be the ones who are connected as well. And Yirmiyahu then calls out, Refo'eni Hashem, Ve'erofe Hoshienu Ve'evoshea. Please, and it seems like a personal call, please, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, heal me, please save me as well. And the Mepharshim explain that a partridge is a bird which broods and has many, many eggs open on the ground, and very few survive. So it's like this person who's trying so hard to accumulate, to cluster, take advantage of, and they just all their shortcuts take them nowhere. All the risks they take. I often think about this when it comes to traffic. You see, as people like weaving in and out and driving crazy and taking so many risks, which would cost so many people their lives, and then they get stuck at the same traffic lights as everybody else who didn't do that. And it's like, yeah. So you think you're going so fast. You think you're going so fast, but it's not really getting there as well. And the Malbim says this refers to the kind of people that profess emunah. They say that they believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but then they're going to still cut a deal. They still make a shortcut because, yeah, Hashem will help me, but I'm going to make sure that I'm going to give a little less care and take a little more money and whatever it is that it is that I need to be able to get there. And this is referring to the way that Israel is conducting itself geopolitically at the time as well. Finally, Yirmiyahu is calling out for this. Hashem, heal me, save me. It doesn't sound like he's saying it on behalf of Israel, so why is he saying it on his own behalf at this point? What's going on over here? The Radak explains. He's saying that the ka'ev, the ma'ke, kamoi, shepirashnu, hua, bizui, va'klolo. Yirmiyahu says, the more I talk, the more people scorn me. Nobody wants to hear this. When you hear this Haftorah, it's very upsetting. It's very applicable today. We don't like to hear these kind of things. It's not referring to me, of course, but it's very upsetting for those who are like me. But the point is that nobody likes to hear this, and so therefore people would scorn Yirmiyahu. And Yirmiyahu says, after having to say these very harsh things, he says, Hashem, heal me. I can't take the social outcastness because of what I'm saying. Mamas is even deeper. He says, I don't want to be the mouthpiece for Puranas. I don't want to be the mouthpiece for all this, the punishment that's going to be happening. I don't want to be heralding this. So Yirmiyahu's in this very difficult situation. He wants to just be focused on spirituality. And yes, yet he at the same time is caught in this very difficult position. Anyways, this concludes our Torah, very much befitting Bechul Koisai, which is a reflection of what that looks like as Yirmiyahu is sort of heralding in the curses of Bechul Koisai. Have a wonderful and meaningful day.